and the leader of political parties carries more responsibility for the smooth running of parliament and the chamber. In this case, I'm talking about the chamber, I'm not talking about political parties. They do have role, but I'm talking about the whips in the chamber. And then we know about what they do in terms of political parties. But do you agree with me that the whips and leaders of political parties carry more responsibility for the smooth running of the chamber, but also parliament in general terms? Am I wrong if I think so?
Mr. Tass. Honourable Chair, to the extent that whips and their leaders are office bearers, and therefore they carry, and they would be senior in regard to the other members, just in terms of the positions they hold, they would have, as I read from the guide procedure, a responsibility. I mean, for instance, if there are changes that occur to the business of the House during House proceedings, the people who get consulted on that are the whips, not the other members who are not whips, not even the chairpersons of committees, but the whips will be consulted, and then the whips will have a responsibility to their parties. So just based on what I read, and based on the whole notion of seniority, the whips and the leaders would have more responsibility, I think, than other members in respect of processes and proceedings. Thank you, Chair. House.
Honourable Fildane.
One or two questions to Mr. Kossoff, through you, Chair. My question is around the equipment, speaking equipment in the House. In law, there's what they call the trend of causation. And I think the Juk-Juk case, to an extent, was influenced by the use of that when the judge or judges found that, you know, the taking of drugs, you know, had an influence in the actions and so on. Now, how often does Parliament conduct a technical audit of the speaking equipment? And are such audits followed by the issuing of a certificate of competence? And if not, why is that is not done at the necessary frequency? Still on that, did the speaker, when I say the speaker, I refer obviously to the administration that works under you know, in that office, under her authority. Did the speaker check the efficacy of the equipment after Honorable Malema had vociferously protested that they had also pressed, so many of them had pressed the equipment to enable them to be noticed? Did she check if it was working? Now, the reason this is particularly pertinent to me is because, one, on the same date, Honorable Ngwango mentioned that when he pressed his thing, it did not respond. And I sit next to a co-member, Honorable Lady Majeke, and time and again, on so many occasions, she has complained that she's not being recognized exactly because the equipment, you know, does not respond when she when she presses it, you know. I've had that experience too. That's why then this becomes important, because the temperature really started changing when Honorable Malema protested that they had pressed. And now, another case which makes this very important is, you'll remember just about 2-3 years ago, our champion swimmer, Leclos, he informed the world that he had beaten the American champion in swimming by 500 yards of a second. Now, what is the difference between people who press precisely at the same time? Does our equipment make a difference? If we press exactly at the same time, how does it arrange its sequence to say so-and-so comes after so-and-so, so-and-so comes before so-and-so? How many can it take in a space of a second or a minute, for that matter? Because now, finally, this case might have to be decided on that, I'm afraid I must say. Now, the other question is about the roles. How often are the roles, as a matter of procedure, how often are they revised by the, rules committee or whatever, right? How often are they? And what normally makes Parliament to feel that there is a need to revise the rules? Speaking to someone who knows the three sources of, of law in a country, your common law, your statutes, your decided cases. When there's been a decided case, does Parliament say, hey, we need to have a look, a re-look at our laws, we need to amend them? Are they revised definitely before a new Parliament, starts? When the country can see, we're public representatives here, when we can see that there are some social changes in the country, do we take the initiative as MPs, as Parliament, to say our roles need to be changed? I'm saying this because in South Africa, it has become a common practice to have protests just about every day. And many, many people have said, government only moves if you protest. If you're talking nicely to government, you don't even expect a response. So that's why I'm saying, do we have a barometer that tells us that we need to amend this rule even before there is a horrible case that's facing us? Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Gasso.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, Mr. Chair, I would like to take the first question, the last point first. As we speak, the rules are under review. There is a subcommittee which is headed by the Honorable Dakane, a multi-party committee which is grappling with the matter of the review of the rules. So there is that process. Up to now, rules have been revised piecemeal, put it that way. For instance, when you had a court outcome on the matter of no confidence, motion of no confidence in the president, the rules were immediately reviewed. There's a new rule, Rule 102A, which deals with motions of no confidence in terms of Section 102 of the Constitution. When you had the what is referred to as the Ambrosini case regarding private members' legislation, there was a session of the Rules Committee and guidelines were agreed to pending the review, the overall review of the rules. So I'm saying where there are court decisions, the rules are reviewed, but not only in respect of court decisions, but also where there are pertinent issues that the parties feel need to be attended to. In respect of the rules are adjusted accordingly. And in the main, such interventions will come would initially be raised at the Chief Whip's Forum. I do know, for instance, that the Chief Whip's Forum is still due to have a session on rules, application of the rules in the House. And the Rules Committee is due to talk about the procedure for motions without notice. And that might lead to a review of the rules. So there are occasional, shall I say, regular review of rules when necessary, but there's also this broader agenda, which is whose outcome, whose objective is to produce a new rules book for the National Assembly. Then the issue of technical equipment. So, of course, I am not an IT person. But in terms of checking the equipment itself in the House, before every sitting, there is checking, there is basic checking of equipment, especially the to talk button. But of course, it's not always that every desk is checked. But the equipment itself is checked where it is operated from. And as I understand the issue on that day, the question two before question three, it was not that the name of the member did not appear. It was that the name of the member appeared later in the list. And as members would be aware, sometimes a member would say that, but I pressed this button. And as I said yesterday, we don't encourage this, but there are instances where I invite the member to come and check. And sometimes members are shocked to see that they are number 10 on the list, because 9 others had already pressed. But Mr. Chairman, I do not have information on the certificate of compliance. I don't want to say how often that is given, except to say that the system in the House is new. It was upgraded shortly before the adjournment for elections. So it's a new system, but as I say, should members require further information on the technical issues, I do know that IT checks, but I'm careful not to commit in terms of the other aspects of IT, because that is not my forte as an officer. But all that I get from IT is an indication that says equipment in the House is ready for the sitting. So I would not be able to say, if 400 members press, how does the system arrange those names if they press at the same time, except to say that it does happen when you vote in the House. That, of course, you press. Of course, there's no issue of order in which the names are taken. I think, Chair, those are the issues that I would like to respond to on this at this time. The question by Honourable Phil Dunne.
Okay, now I think is an opportunity for Honourable Boy to pose a question before he kicks me.
You see now, I'm being accused. I must say that I've been a member for 20 years. I came here in 1994. So all the incidents that have ever taken place, I do carry knowledge about them. But the point that, but never in the history of Parliament, I mean, I've seen, this is, President Gede Klekisa, it's a supposed to be your third president and is coming, or your fourth president that has been under the democracy that you're going through. And you know, when you hear utterances that says, I would never leave here today until you answer that question. Now, is that about the rules? Or what is it about? Because clearly, Madam Speaker has given an opportunity and even given a supplement. And then if you look at the video, it says, we'll never leave. And that's a whip of a party until the questions get answered. Now, who wouldn't respond to that? Because quite clearly, ourselves as members of parliament, in the many years that we've been here, our right to be able to ask the president questions has been taken away. And what is it being expected? Does that go to the level of saying you need education, or what? Is it a lack of understanding of the rules, or what is the point? If you could just give me an insider, or how you reflect on that, was it really about the procedure at that particular day on the 21st of August? You see, it goes beyond that, because you see, when people lament about singing and how other members would even ask men to stand up, and we stand up in parliament. But the worst example that I've never seen in my life as a parliamentarian is what the deputy president of the country suffered when a finger was made, a gesture of a finger, by a member of parliament to him, a chief whip of the parliament. Is that about the rules? Is that about the rules? Because I'm narrating what Honorable Ngong was also doing. Yeah, it's becoming point of order, sir. Because you're narrating the
point of order is raised. And Honorable Ngongo.
I have bad luck with these things. Mr. Chairman, I was calling a point of order because I was not comfortable with the statement that I was hearing, because we are not concluding this process yet. We can't be actually expressing our own personal feelings about what actually happened and what did not happen at this stage. Otherwise, we are messing this process up. I feel that the honourable member would actually hold his horses on that one, because we are not concluding yet. We are merely asking questions of clarity. And the process, in my view, is still on.
Thank you. I think that point of order is is sustained. And let's reserve some of the things when we get to the deliberations. And today, then, let's just examine the evidence as laid in front of us. I think it will assist us moving forward. Thank you very much. Continue, Honorable Boy.
No, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. He's my colleague. I will always respect his opinion. Well, we are sharing that experience together, so we do have a relationship. But you see where I was driving to, it's on page 19 of the book he doesn't have today, but I'll help him, I'll buy one book for him. The one on the guide to procedures. Okay. You see, it says an aggrieved member, if unable to resolve an issue with the presiding officer, then you outline what happens. How many times as an official that works under the speakers, have you come across such experiences? And what does that mean? And how have you been able to resolve some of those challenges? When aggrieved members, because I know across parties, it's not the first time that Honorable Mwangu has been complaining, but I'm just saying that a number of times
these incidents where even in the ANC we complain, we come to you there. How many times have you been able to get people on terms of procedure followed to get these matters resolved? And I wanted to take you to 20, because it deals with on maintaining of order. And what, if you respect the Constitution, it seems to say the Constitution does talk to the maintaining, and who does have that authority in maintaining of order. But if it doesn't happen, or in your experience, because you came quite long, that's on page 20, there's quite an elaborate way of talking to the maintaining of order. What mechanisms have ever been evolved, or challenges that have come up in such a particular way that you could be able to give us an insider's view of how such issues have been resolved in the past? You see, is the experience or the evolution, as we are talking about the evolution of rules, the principle for me is maintaining of order. And has ever such incidents ever happened in the House where it became totally difficult for the Speaker? Because the present Speaker has been here before and we have worked under her. Has such experience ever occurred within the institution, and how have you been able to resolve such, matters? Because I know that the Powers and Privileges, this particular committee has not been meeting quite regularly, or have never been able to preside over such matters. What has been your experience in resolving some of these challenges?
Thank you very much, Mr. Kasson.
Mr. Chairman, I may not be able to recall the number of instances where issues were referred to the Speaker, issues that emanate from the House, except to say that there is such a thing called private rulings. This would be in instances where a member would raise something with the Speaker, and sometimes it could have been an issue that occurred in the House but was not raised in the House, and the member still feels aggrieved, writes to the Speaker about this matter. And of course the Speaker would either deal with the matter, or the Speaker would refer it to a structure like Powers and Privileges Committee, or if it's an ethical issue, to the Ethics Committee. I know there's a recent incident where a member, some of the members here may be familiar with this, during EPCs, a member was asked to withdraw certain remarks that he had made. He did not agree that the remarks were unparliamentary. Then I think, I cannot recall now whether the member eventually withdrew them or he was asked to leave the chamber, one of the two. But the point I want to make is that the member then subsequently wrote to the Speaker, raising his concern about the ruling that had been given. That led to him either withdrawing the remarks or withdrawing from the chamber. I just can't recall now exactly what happened eventually. And the matter might go to the Rules Committee, the principle of the ruling that was given on the matter. The member was basically raising a concern. So he wrote to the presiding officer concerned, sorry. So there is that recourse where, and of course as I read earlier, in the event that there is no agreement on how the matter should be resolved, there's the option of moving a motion in the House. Could be a substantive motion, and the motion could be scheduled and dealt with, but as a very last resort, the first port of call is to approach the presiding officer concerned raise the issue, the president also concerned, would then see how they take the matter further than that. Honorable Chair, again, on maintaining of order, one would have, I always like when I give an instance or incident to be able to cite it specifically so that I can be helpful to the members. But I cannot recall offhand. There have been instances where, where members, where temperatures, let's say between members in the House rise, and members quietly invite each other outside, but it never really got to the point where there was a serious incident. Those instances were stopped somehow, were prevented somehow. So a lot of things do happen in the House, but some of them do not have a direct impact on the collective business in the House, and they are dealt with in various ways. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Honorable members, I think this is an opportunity for Honorable Mahloko to pose an inquiry on the evidence.
Honorable Chairperson, before I could go directly to my questions, I want to put on record that there are references which are made here where we were not presented with the document to refer. I just put it on record that we are disadvantaged about that. Going straight to my question, Mr. Kausho.
Honorable Mahloko, because I think the point that you have raised, I think it's a serious point. Which reference are you referring to? Which documents are you referring to so that it can be made available or
there,
arranged?
There is a green book making rounds here, which we don't have.
The blue one?
No, it is in the website, but I say in this committee. No.
Honorable members.
This is point of order, which you're supposed to call to members, Chairperson.
Okay.
We are not giving this book. It cannot be distributed when I raise an issue in a committee, and you don't call a point of order.
Honorable Mahloko, I've just called the honorable members. That is not orderly what was happening. Yes, I wanted to know, which document are you referring to? Now you've described the document, and then you can proceed with the question. And of course, the availability of the document, it must be done in an orderly manner for you to have a
any document which is here,
thank you very much.
Here as evidence must be.
Just hold on a second. Is that a point of order?
Thank you.
Honorable Mahloko, I'm saying that it's a point of order here. Let's hear.
Thank you, Chair. It's not necessarily a point of order. The document were dropped on my desk. So I had a surplus. They were distributed just today.
Okay.
So there's no one who's disadvantaged with any other document.
Thank you very much. That's why I'm saying, honorable members, if you can share with them the document, but in an orderly manner. Thank you very much. Honorable Mahloko, you can proceed.
Chairperson, I don't think it is also necessary for this document to be distributed now after I've raised this to be recorded. My first question will be, Mr. Kausho, you earlier indicated that sometimes in the chamber the debate can be robust. I just want you to classify a robust debate vis-a-vis what happened in the chamber on the 21st of August
2014. How do you classify that? And who was assigned to manage that robust debate? My second question will be, in most of your, if not all, in most of your presentation, you said, I quote, "in my own understanding," close quote. So will you agree with me that some of the statements presented as evidence, you are unable to respond to them because precisely are not your statement? The case in point, it's on page 33 of the Hazard document. The speaker said, I quote, the speaker, honorable members, I'm calling security. You will agree with me, the only person who can explain that statement is the speaker herself, because those are not your words. My third question will be about the footage and cameras in the house. How many cameras are in operation in the National Assembly? And where are they located? Is this cameras covering the whole house at any given time? I pause.
Mr. Goss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was trying to just assist myself with the dictionary meaning of robust. Of course, it might take me long, but let me just explain what I meant by robust in my own context. What I was trying to say is that debates can be heated, and rules can be complied with at the same time. And that is really what I mean by that. That I've seen at least that it is possible to have heated debates in the House, exchange honorable members exchanging strong views. But honorable members, when the speaker gives a particular directive, honorable members are abiding by that directive. So by robust, I mean, as I say, I was trying to get the dictionary to assist me, but in this context, I meant that you could have heated debates, and in fact, it gets very exciting when those do happen. That's how I would like to respond to that, Honourable Chair. And of course, the Honourable Member can always follow up on the matter. The issue of the calling of security, I've explained that this is what the Hansard says. I've explained what the speaker said subsequent to that about why was security called. I also read a statement where Speaker says our security. And that's really the extent I can go on that matter, sir. Because I have to base what I say on what I'm reading here. The footage and my understanding of what happened. And I explained that the Speaker did not say security services. The Speaker said security. At least this is what I read here. The footage, and really, let me just say why I made that point, because Chairperson,
Honorable Matogo,
I referred to page 33. I'm not referring to any. I'm consistent on that. I've asked it earlier, then I repeated it now on page 33.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's just give him just a few seconds to find it and respond.
Honorable Chair, I'm on page 33 at the bottom, which I think the member is referring to. It says, Honorable members, I'm calling security. I'm suspending the House for a few minutes for these honorable members to leave.
Is that the one? Okay, we will proceed.
Okay. I think I've dealt with the issue of security, Chair, unless the member still wants me to say more on that issue.
On your request, I think let me just accede to it. Honorable Matlou, can you just...
I quoted the speaker there. I can't remember, maybe that is the correct word. I said, honorable members, I'm calling security. Then I said, Mr. Nkasu, you always say, in most, if not all, of your presentation, you said, in your own opinion. Then I'm saying, in this, where the speaker says, I'm calling security, are you able to speak for the speaker? Or the speaker is the relevant person to say, what did she refer to when she said, I'm calling the speaker? Not our security, I'm talking about what is in this paper.
You may proceed if you understood.
Chair, and I really, I mean this sincerely, I'm trying to respond to this question. The speaker said I'm calling security, and all I was doing was to just cite other instances where the word security was used, and I was also trying to explain that it says security, did not say security services. But I get the member's point. Speaker made these remarks in the House. Then on the issue of the footage and cameras in the House, how many? Honorable Chair, I do know that there are cameras in the House, and when I ask the IT head, he tells me that there are adequate cameras in the House, but I would not be truthful to this committee if I guessed or if I ventured the number of how many cameras we have in the House, and are they covering the whole House? My understanding is that they do cover the whole House, but as I say, I may be the secretary to the House, but when it comes to issues of IT, I have a working knowledge and not detailed knowledge of how those things function. My interest when I interact with IT is to be assured that everything is in order for the house. I said when I started yesterday that my responsibility is to ensure the smooth functioning of the house administratively. So that's the assurance that I get from them. But in terms of the detail of how many cameras we have, I would not possess that information at this point, Mr. Chairman. Honorable Motloko, you would assist me, say, if there's a question that I didn't answer. If you could, please. For you, Mr. Chairperson, my apologies.
Thank you.
Chairperson, the link between in my own understanding, I want to be clarified that can we, that is his own opinion according to my understanding, in my own understanding. So I ask a question. Is Mr. Nkaso, can Mr. Nkaso answer all these questions? Or the speaker is the relevant person to respond to other questions which, for an example, I quoted the speaker on page 33, the last, so that when we say what the speaker, what you referred to when you said I'm calling security.
Yes, that's the cause.
Honorable Chair, I am the secretary to the House, and indeed I take that role seriously, and I take it as a privilege to be the secretary to the National Assembly. When I say my own understanding, the point I'm making, or shall I put it differently, that my understanding would be, I said either today or yesterday, that there must be a logic of the situation. There must be a rational basis for why I say something happened, and that is how I understand it. So my understanding would be based on the powers that the speaker has in terms of the rules, on the constitution, on the practices and conventions of the House. And when I say my understanding, it's because, as members know, I have been asked to come, or as I indicated, to come and talk on the application of the rules and on the events on that day that happened. So that is why I'm here. I cannot say to this committee who else must be called. It is not I'm not qualified to say those things. I am here as a witness and to answer to the questions that are posed to me.
Thank you. Now is an opportunity for Honorable Killian to pose a question.
Chairperson, thank you. And first and foremost, I think what is important is that I also just want to place on record that the relevant documents that were referred to, that is the rules and the guide to procedure, are actually posted on the website. And in addition to the induction session that we had as members of parliament, it was called onboarding at the beginning of this parliamentary term. Can I just ask Mr. Kaso, in addition to the onboarding session beginning, did any of the EFF whips, and in particular the chief whip of the EFF, approach the National Assembly table for training on the rules and the proceedings of Parliament subsequent to the onboarding? Secondly, if he has experience, since he's been here for so long, if other parties, other new parties, have taken certain initiatives, if you could please inform the committee about that. Then secondly,
to you, Chair, there's a word I did not hear in the question that Ms. Honorable Kellen has just asked. I was just, with your indulgence, Chair, if she would repeat it.
Could I repeat the last session?
I just wanted to make sure, first of all, we have the record here that Honorable Shivambu confirmed that they had the rule book. It is on the record of Hansard here. But there are also questions as to a comprehension of the rules. Now, my question was if he is aware of any effort on the side of the EFF as a new party to have special training conducted for their members on the National Assembly rules, as well as the guide of procedure, etc. If he could tell us that. And secondly, since he has been in Parliament for 20 years odd and for very long as associated with the NA table, if other new parties took initiatives to have special training for their parties by the NA table, if he could tell us about that. Chairperson, then I would like to ask him, this guide to procedure, on page 152, refers to responsibilities of members. Now, could he perhaps just elaborate a little further, specifically on how members should conduct themselves to preserve the decorum of the House? What is expected of members? When you join a particular club, Chairperson, it is my submission that you first obtain the rules to understand what you are joining, and that you secondly then also make sure that you align yourself with the rules of the club and how you conduct yourself. So I just wanted to understand if you could elaborate further on that and if there was any effort on their part to get that. Lastly, Chairperson, I think the question regarding the security, I think it was page 33, can he please indicate who is ultimately responsible for security of everybody at Parliament, and where does that person derive the responsibility from? If he could elaborate on that. I do believe that the Powers and Privileges Act referred to that. But if he could please just confirm who is ultimately responsible for everybody's security at Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Klaas.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. The onboarding exercise, Mr. Chair. Majority of members attended the sessions that we had. I do not have the list with me now of who attended. I cannot recall that there is and I'm subject to be corrected on this, that we have conducted a special training for any particular party beyond that training. As I say, I'm subject to correction. I may be confusing the periods. But I do know that in the ordinary course of events, parties approach us, those that need training, and we do send officers to parties to talk to them about the rules. That certainly happened in the fourth parliament. I can't recall that it has yet happened in this parliament, and we do expect it to happen. But I might just indicate this, Chair, for fairness, that there have been different whips who have come to my office for particular aspects of the rules, and that would have included some whips of the economic freedom fighters and other parties. As I said, my office is for members of all the parties. They come for various things, get information, get documentation, and an understanding on issues of procedure. So that would have happened, but not in a structured format where you would have a special training session. So to answer the question, there has been no initiative that I'm aware of. As I say, a colleague of mine could advise me if there has been, but I can't remember, recall at this point. Responsibilities of members. On page 152, Honorable Kalyan referred as my apologies, ma'am, referred us to responsibilities of members, and this section deals with members' conduct and decorum in the House. It says the underlying principle is that of showing respect to the House and to other members. Conduct should not cause a disruption to proceedings. And then it cites certain words or expressions that were given by Speaker Lowther many years ago. I would not bore members with that detail at this point. But some of the issues that are highlighted here, issues like members to be seated when the bells stop ringing, the issue of dress in the House, members being required to bow to the chair when entering or leaving the chamber, not to move onto the floor area of the chamber in front of the benches, not to stand in the passages or gangways, not to converse aloud during debate, not to interrupt the member who has the floor, and that while interjections are acceptable, the chair has discretion to allow interjections to the extent that they are relevant to the debate and not disruptive. On 5 March 1996, the Deputy Speaker ruled, "I do not mind interjections, but I like a lively House. But please, the interjections must be relevant to the debate. A member should avoid attempting to conduct a dialogue with a member at the podium." And the last one that maybe I should just read, says, talking about drowning out or disruption, "The volume and frequency of interjections, heckling, or interruptions must not prevent the member at the podium from being heard. The chairperson of committees ruled on 28 May 1998, "I do not mind interjections, but they must not be aimed at drowning out whoever is addressing the House. The interjections must be sensible." Of course, there's another rule that deals with offensive remarks, and our members should leave the House. And Honorable Chair, if I may deal with the last point. In terms of the Powers and Privileges Act, Honorable Chairperson, and I believe the copy is in the bundle, that I know, in my bundle certainly. Section 4 of the Act talks about the presence of security services in precincts of Parliament. That is Section 4. And in terms of the definitions clause, that would be found in Section 199 of the Constitution of the Republic, the definition of security services. 199. Security services of the Republic consists of a single defense, a single police service, and any intelligence services established in terms of the Constitution. Now, in terms of this Section 4, one, it says, Members of the security services may enter or remain in the precincts for the purpose of performing any policing function or perform any policing function in the precincts only with the permission and under the authority of the speaker or the chairperson. When there is immediate danger to the life or safety of any person or damage to any property, members of the security services may, without obtaining such permission, enter upon and take action in the precincts so far as it is necessary to avert that danger. Any such must, as soon as possible, be reported to the speaker and the chairperson. I'm not sure if the honorable member would want me to go further than this. I just thought I should read it as she had asked. Thank you, Chairman.
Honorable members, I think Honorable Filtane wanted to remind us on an outstanding question. Do you mind just reminding Mr. Kass of that question that has not been answered?
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. In my last series of questions, there was a supplementary one to the main question, to the first question, and that was, I wanted to know if the speaker had taken the trouble to examine the speaking equipment after Honorable Malema had pointed out that he was agitated by the fact that they had been positioned at 6 and 7, whereas they contended that they had actually pressed as soon as the opportunity presented itself. So the video does show that she seems to be conferring with someone on her right, over her right-hand shoulder, but I don't know what she was doing, and then she comes back with the numbering. But did she check the equipment on the day? Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
Sorry, deal with that.
My apologies. Mr. Chairman, on the day, as Speaker confirmed, let me just say firstly how that system operates. So at the top button, names of honorable members appear, and a question is dealt with, because that system is mainly used for questions. It is used also for what we refer to as first reading debates on bills. It's a procedure that has not been used regularly. This is a debate where you do not have a list of speakers, but members, instead of raising their hands, they would press the talk button. So it's used mainly for questions. And when you move to the next question, we call it clear the queue. The queue is cleared and the names are removed. That may inform why members would want to come and check. But I must say that it has, shall I put it maybe this way, and I hope I will be saying what I want to say. The system has not been questioned before, at least not that I'm aware of. You would have had members who would have queried that my gadget is not working. But the efficacy of the system in the sense of mixing up names and this and that, and maybe I should not mention a name because the member happens to be in this room. There were questions may have been to the president or to ministers, and I happened to be in the house on that day. And then a whip of the party concerned comes to me and says, but Honorable So-and-so has pressed this button. And I say to the member, look, indeed, he did, but he's number 10 on the list as a member of the majority party. And I asked him to come and check, because the point was really to say the system records the names. So I'm saying it has not really been an issue to the point where the role of the speaker has been questioned. at least not that I can remember. And therefore, my take on the day was that members pressed and the names appeared. You wanted to know who was the speaker conferring with. She was conferring with me. No, I can say that. Because this is at the desk, this is at the table, and the names come through the table and on the speaker's side. So there's a screen on the speaker's side, and there's the same screen that is on our side would appear, the same names that appear in front of us would appear on the speaker's side. And of course, we would not expect the speaker to be counting even beyond four, because the speaker, in terms of the rules, she can recognize four, unless she feels that there needs to be a different spread of parties. But at the table, where a question does arise, we would be able to indicate, especially if the queue has not been cleared yet, that party so-and-so would have asked the question. So as I say, there is a party, and I will not speak for that party, that sometimes does come and they look, as I say, we don't really encourage that, because we are there to perform a function for all the members and for all the parties. We don't fiddle with those things. We don't, in fact, even when we do vote and when members wish to come and view the results of the voting, we really would want them to come and view it, because, as I say, when the House does things, those things have to pass constitutional scrutiny, and therefore we can't fiddle with them. We are officers of the House, and there would be no reason for us to fiddle with them, in fact. So members can always come and check, but our trust and our hope is that members would get to a point, if they don't, if they're not there yet, where they would understand that our role, we are there as public servants to serve the members. So speaker did not examine the equipment after that, to answer your honourable member. I'm sorry for a long-winded answer, precisely because it was not felt that the equipment was defective at the time. But we'd always encourage members where their systems are not working to please report those so that they can be fixed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can we give Honorable Lodrit to pose a question?
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question also relates to the matter of the equipment, and I just want to confirm that even though you said in your evidence that it usually is up to the speaker, or she does have the right to decide which of the names appearing she takes to answer the questions. She's not obliged to follow the order as it is given on the screen. So I just want you to confirm that. And then secondly, you will recall that, through you, Chair, that Mr. Khaosu, that you identified 20 members of the EFF in a video clip where we paused for quite some time on the one shot or the still. Were there only 20 members, as we can also look at the clip again if you want to, if it's possible. Were there only 20 members, or were there more? If there were more, in terms of your knowledge of the rules, were they in contempt of the speaker by not leaving the House at that particular point? Thank you.
Mr. Doss.
Chair, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Rodrigue. I spoke to the issue of discretion. If Honourable Members read this, it would speak to that as well. And the point that I was making there was that, firstly, I made a point that there was once a time when members would raise their hands, and then Speaker would decide who to take. Then the system was introduced for the names to appear. Speaker or presiding officer would use discretion, obviously guided by the names that appear. I gave one example, for instance, that it could very well happen, because this system, you press first, your name appears first, that you would have three members from the same party appearing as number 1, 2, 3, apart from the questioner. And then you have the rest of the members appearing as 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 10. So my understanding is that where it is reasonable not to take the names that are the first four, and where it's going to make sense to ensure a fair spread of opportunities, Speaker would exercise discretion. So discretion would always be there. And I'm sure there would be a basis for the presiding officer to exercise that discretion. But the system is meant to guide the presiding officer. There were obviously more than the members that I identified with a great deal of difficulty. That's why it took that long, because I could not just assume that you have these names, therefore they are that member. Could not just assume that because this member happens to have this particular height, and therefore it happens to be member so-and-so. I had to, even though I thought that was Mr. Gaddi, Honorable Gaddi, it was important for me to see the face of Honorable Gaddi and identify him. So there were more members in the House. But it is my understanding that the members, when the names were identified, it was the names that the faces that could be identified on the screen, on the video. But as members would have seen, there were more members on the screen. You asked Honourable Member, were they in contempt of the Speaker? It is for this committee to decide that. It is not for me, Honourable Member. All I can say is that there was a break, suspensions, and the intention was for members to move out or to be removed, as it says in the Hansard. But it is, my apologies, ma'am, and you'll forgive me, it is for yourselves to decide whether those members were in contempt of Parliament or not. I would not want to venture an opinion there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bongo.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Mr. Paso, page 28 of B. Mr. N.F. Shibambo says that really we have dealt with the issues of rules. We have got that book as well. We know those things there. I think we have already accepted that by those things he's referring to the books, to the rules book. So you will not differ with me. You will agree with me that the members who are charged have sufficient knowledge about the rules by their own accepting that they've got those things, they have the rules. So you will not differ with me. You will actually agree with me that they can't plead that they are only 4 months, 20 days.
for that, Chair. This is a leading question. We need to clarity. We need to. You see now, the issue of biasness comes in here.
Okay.
The order. Issue of biasness comes
order,
in here.
Order, honorable.
Because members. This question is a leading question.
Order, honorable members. Order, honorable members. Order, honorable member. Unless if you are raising a point of order. Are you raising a point of order? But press the thing.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm a bit puzzled because Honorable Twala is not a member in this committee, but he's the one who keeps on talking, one advising, apparently, Mr. Honorable. No, it's
all right. Honorable members, I think Honorable Twala has been advised that cannot participate in here, and if that is the case, I think he must cease from continuing to do that. I think in this house now, we have you and Honorable Mthembu who are actually not supposed to be participating, and you're supposed to be keeping yourself quiet and just observing what happens.
So I'm still on that point of order.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
I think honourable member there is not seeking clarity or asking a question. He's leading the witness. He's leading the witness to point of order on point of order.
Okay. Honourable Matoko. Honourable Matoko. Okay. Yes. Just before I make a ruling,
yes,
can I hear from you?
No, Chair, I'm saying that on a point of order, when he was asking the question of security, none of us stopped him. But he continuously reflected on that question, taking it also from the Hansard. And the honorable member here is reflecting on what is in the Hansard. What is the difference then from what he's saying? Well, where does he say that he's leading a question?
Okay.
He must not mislead us here. We know what we're talking about.
Thank you for the point of order. Honorable Matoko, I think the evidence that we are dealing with, they are based on the audiovisual as well as the transcript of the Hansard. And the matter that is being raised, it is in there, in those two. And we just actually been led through Mr. Kass. And if there is anything out of that, then I think there will be a need for you to intervene. But for now, it is the evidence that has been led and presented to members, captured in the audiovisual, as well as the transcript. I don't think there is anything out of order on that one. Now, can we allow Honorable Bongo just to complete the question?
There is a point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Honorable Mwango.
I also personally have a problem with the formulation of the question. Probably not with the content, but the formulation. If the member of this committee asks a witness to agree with him or her,
okay,
then that's problematic.
Honorable Boy.
Chairperson, you see, we've been quite patient, but I do think that what is in the rule on page 145, number 7, speaks about the hearing. And we are in that ambit. And when we wanted to get more clarities, or how to deal with clarities, that same members were not willing to engage with us. So I don't understand. And I'm raising it because when I was doing the 20 years, and when he was doing the 20 years, he kept on saying that we are out of order, but he could be given a long time to narrate his own stories of life. It's not correct, Chairman.
Okay. Honourable members, I think I need to redirect yourselves because you have been behaving very well since Tuesday, and since this morning as well, you have been doing so. And I really believe that the people out there in the public, as they were watching you, they are very grateful that you are actually representing them properly. And now just about 3 minutes or so, just before we actually just adjourned, then we have actually now engaged in some gymnastics which are not actually assisting us. Therefore, I'll really just persuade you just simply to allow Honorable Bongo just to complete so that then we can adjourn if you are tired. And really, I would really request that we do so. And can we allow Honorable Bongo to continue?
Yeah, thanks. The first question is, it is as I said, Chair, I think he got it well. But just to lay the fears of Mr. Ngwango, I'm also a lawyer myself, so I know how to ask questions. The adjournment in terms of Section 56, what will be your comment on the adjournment in terms of Section 56? I think I hold a view that I think it was an appropriate step that the Speaker has taken. So I want your comment. Thank you.
Mr. Kaso.
Honourable Chair, on the first question, with all respect to the Honourable Member, I think that it appears to me that the insert answered on what Mr. Shivambu, Honorable Shivambu is referring to, is clear in terms of the words that are reflected here. So if you permit me, Mr. Chair and Honorable Bongo, unless the Chair forces me, I request not to venture an opinion on that. And secondly, it is my understanding that the Speaker made the Speaker made a determination to adjourn the sitting, to suspend the sitting in terms of Rule 56 after taking into account the circumstances in the House. I have no reason to believe that Speaker took the wrong decision.
Was there any consultation at that time?
Let me just get this right. You can't.
I want to add to that answer.
Honorable Reso, you raise the hand and then I put you on the list that will be coming to speak.
Yeah.
If you would like to repeat that, then you will just.
Yeah, just a further clarification.
But to call a point of order to a witness, I'm not sure whether that's correct. Because shouldn't we allow him to complete the answer? And if you are not.
No, the reason why I'm raising it because the witness has answered previously to a similar question.
Yeah.
And that there were chief whips consulted before a decision was made.
Yeah, I would have loved that to allow him just to complete the answer. And if there is anything that any member wants to raise,
Chairperson,
then we can just raise it.
Order, Chair. Order, Chair.
Honorable Bongo.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll want your ruling on this one. The Honorable Member SAO has not been here since Tuesday. So if he comes just on the last day where we're dealing with the witness before us and he wants to venture into asking questions, I think he's going to be doing a disservice to to this hearing. He must just keep quiet as he just came a few minutes before this time.
Honorable Members,
yeah.
While we would have loved all members of this committee to have been with us right from the beginning up to the end, I think but that doesn't really disqualify a permanent or a main member, even if he comes a day late or 2 days later. And that time that he has during the committee meeting, then he should be allowed to participate fully. And I think he has the right to participate, Honorable Bongo. And then, of course, is that it is up to the Honorable Member to ensure that he he or she doesn't embarrass himself or herself on matters that may have been discussed before they arise, and it's up to him or her just to ensure that he doesn't actually find himself in that situation. But we cannot bar the member from participating, and therefore I would say that he's allowed to participate. He raised his hand and he's on the list, and you'll have an opportunity to
accept
to speak. Thank you very much.
Yeah, threatening member.
Mr. Kaso.
No, Chair, I'm happy to clarify the point raised by the honourable member. Honourable Bongo is asking about the suspension. Honourable Bongo is asking about the suspension at 14:58 and the invoking of Rule 56. The Honourable Member is referring to the adjournment at 16:17, where I said, as Speaker has indicated in answered, there have been consultations when the House adjourned at 16:17. So I would like, Chair, with your permission, to check with the Honourable Member if I've responded to his point of clarification.
Don't venture into that one, and then if the member is aggrieved, and then we'll raise a hand and do so. Honourable Members, let me just indicate that in terms of our programme, we have programmed our sitting to actually end at 5. But today, I think, because we wanted to give members an opportunity to actually raise these questions, and then we have tried to make an arrangement for transport so that the 5 o'clock and or quarter past 5 buses do not become an issue that hinders your work. I think the next member that was on my list, I had Honourable Boy, Honourable Mwango, Honourable Masuku, and Honourable Esso. Those were the people that were on the list. And then now I must add Honourable Fildin wants to speak, and then Killian wants to speak, and Honourable Mdagane wants to speak. And who is this? Honourable Mutapo. Thank you very much. And I think the issues of time is in our hands, or in your hands. Can we then now give Honourable Boy an opportunity to, unless Eve is covered. You got it all. Thank you very much for your progressiveness. Honourable Mwango.
Thank you, Chairman. Part of what I actually wanted to ask had actually been covered by speakers before me. Safe to say that I would like to say to ask Mr. Kaso that, or predicate my question by saying that see, the core function of Parliament is, among other things, to hold the executive accountable, and that is actually our core function, our most important job to do here. And part of the instrument that we have to get the executive to account is the questions that we ask members of the executive, and that includes the president. Now, earlier on yesterday, you actually told us that there are 6 questions that are asked to the president per question day, and this happens once per term. and I started calculating 6 questions terms, a number of terms, and it gave me something like 20 or so questions per year or so, plus 4 supplementary questions. And if you actually marry that with also another constitutional provision, that of the right of members to freedom of speech and debate, which is guaranteed in the Constitution. Now, you also juxtapose that with the powers that presiding officers have in terms of their rules. Which powers, in some instances, actually allow presiding officers to actually curtail those rights of members to freedom of speech and debate? What sort of safeguards are there to ensure that there is indeed no abuse of these powers given to presiding officers in terms of their rules, which actually disadvantages members from exercising their constitutional mandate? And the last one is, I'm asking this question because if you look at the Hansard here, I counted the number of times some of the members here had actually asked for a point of order and were ignored. In some instances, some of the accused actually even asked to address the speaker, but they were ignored. So what kind of safeguards are there in the
room? Honorable Mwango, there is a point of order raised. I know that you are almost 20 years old in this parliament with Honorable Poet.
No, but I'm trying to understand. Yeah. He kept on saying that we should not venture as people who are jurists to start wanting to lead and try to find a solution and enter into the debate. But he's opening us up and beginning to say that it's in point of order. It's the nature of his question that is beginning to give us problems on a point of order.
Okay, Honorable Mwango, can you just try and desist from what you are actually advancing initially, so that we just need to speak to the evidence that has been led to us. Of course, just remembering the question that you had a problem with of the formulation.
Well,
thank you, continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question actually it revolves around the issue of safeguards in the rules. And I just want to say in conclusion, Mr. Chairman, that I'm beginning to have concern that if we ask these questions, members should actually, we should never forget that we are actually here to objectively listen to whatever evidence. And we should never forget that this process is taking place still under a cloud that has not been dealt with. I don't want to get into that. But we should desist from the temptation which could actually give credence to that kind of cloud I'm talking about.
Yeah, just assist us, Honorable Mwango, just assist us to complete your question. And then so that we don't necessarily go to those other things. I think we may reserve them for
just
the
safeguard, Mr. Chairman, that is within the rules to ensure that the presiding officers do not actually abuse the powers that actually is afforded to them in terms of the rules, to deny people to exercise or to engage in a free and fair kind of debate, which will actually enable them to exercise their duty to actually hold the executive accountable.
Shouldn't we allow Mr. Kaso to respond to what he can respond And if there is anything that he cannot, I think he should be capable to say he can't venture into anything. Mr. Tass.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The Constitution.
It looks like there is a point. Yeah.
We need the evidence that's in the answer. I do, however, think that we are becoming unfair to him.
Yeah.
And then, because he's not here to answer broader political questions. Those questions will be debated by the team once we have closed ourselves somewhere. At the moment, we are dealing with evidence. I'm still on the...
I think it's Honorable Matlogu is raising a point of order.
Shouldn't I
go back to Mr. Tasso to actually complete?
My point of order is that now the committee clearly lost direction. Because if the people who are supposed to judge on the evidence, we are continuously calling each other to order because of our political interest, then it is going to give this
okay.
committee.
All right.
No,
okay.
I'm not out of order.
Okay,
you can call it out,
out of order. Honorable Matlogu. That's why I was requesting to go back to Mr. Tasso. I think, like as I've said, honorable members, that you behaved very well. But I think since morning, I think those members that have called points of order, more than anybody else, they know themselves. And I think if they could assist the committee to continue rather than making point of order to be our main activity when it is not our main activity. Can I request Mr. Tasso to respond to what he can respond? What he can't respond, then he must leave it as such or indicate if ever there is any recourse that a member may seek to go and find a response to it. But as Honorable Dagane has just indicated, you are going to have an opportunity to deliberate among yourselves. And I can bet that if you want to, you can start attending some gym and make sure that on that day you are fit enough to actually do the necessary gymnastics so that the report that comes out here, then it is a properly processed report that has been deliberated by members. Mr. Tasso.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman, and thanks to Honorable Mang for the question. Section 58, let me start with Section 57 of the Constitution, provides that the National Assembly may determine and control its internal arrangements and proceedings and procedures, and make rules and orders concerning its business with due regard to representative and participatory democracy, accountability, transparency, and public involvement. So my first part of the response, Honorable Nago, would be to say that in the event that members are of the view that the rules are inadequate, or processes are inadequate, it is within your powers as members of Parliament to propose processes for the review of such processes. And I indicated earlier that there is a rules review process that is underway. I would really encourage honourable members to utilise that process. I'm looking for a better word that would put more emphasis, but to seize the opportunity of this process, of the rules review, and make the kind of interventions that honorable members think
are warranted in terms of the rules and the application of the rules. Now, you also have the Rules Committee that is supposed to deal with matters that have to do with the rules. I indicated earlier that the Chief Whip's Forum has on its agenda matters of the House, and it has been indicated to me that it's going to discuss a range of issues that pertain to House business. And that's another forum. And I would really encourage that honorable members utilize that platform. Possible things that emanate from the Chief Whip's Forum will get to the Rules Committee. And again, members have recourse in terms of if a member is has a difficulty with the principle of a ruling in the House, that can be raised again in the Rules Committee for that matter to be dealt with. And the member can ask that it be dealt with as a matter of urgency, so that there is a conclusion to the issue. And then one of the members can ask the Speaker, as the Chairman of the Rules Committee, to ensure that these things, the Rules Committee sits as often as there are issues that need to be dealt with that are raised by members. All I'm saying is that there are platforms, and I'm not sure that they are being adequately utilized currently within Parliament to raise some of these issues as Parliament evolves. But the point I wanted to make is that the Constitution grants freedom of speech in the Assembly and in its committees, and the Constitution subjects that freedom of speech to the rules and orders. That is Section 58(1)(a), to the rules and orders. And therefore, I think, Honourable Member, perhaps those are the safeguards. And if the safeguards are not, members feel that they are not adequate, maybe they should raise the issues so that the appropriate structures can deal with those issues if they feel that there are issues that need to be safeguarded as far as the presiding officers deal with issues in the House. That is really the view that I would express there, Honourable Member.
Thank you. Can we ask whether Honorable Mahluku? Yes, then to pose a question.
Yes, of course, Chairperson. I've got three questions to ask. One, in one of the video clips, you identified yourself amongst members of Parliament and others, members of the executive. I just want you to share light on what was your role in that discussion. Number two, as a secretary, can you share light with us that who compiled the charges and on whose brief, and why is there inconsistency in the application of the rules referring to Charge 7 of the 6 members, if I'm correct in numbers, Charge 3 and Charge 1. And the last question is for interest sake. Are you affiliated to any political party?
Honorable Mahluku, remember that Mr. Kaso has been called as a witness on a hearing, a and therefore the charges and then cannot be a product of the witness. He has been called to give evidence.
Okay.
Yes, and then I think he needs to be protected on that score. And then, yeah, just be reminded of that he has been called to give as a witness.
Oh, okay. Let me finish up. On the very same, the second question which I posed, I said the charges were not, the rules were not applied consistently. And earlier you said the speaker was referring to members of the EFF. And according to the parliamentary records, the members of the EFF who attended that meeting were 25. Was that selective to only refer to 20 and not 25? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Tato.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairman. And thanks to the Honorable Member. Mr. Chair, I really would, on the one question about my affiliation, I would invite the Honorable Member, if he so wishes, to do a research on me and search my affiliation. I here to talk about the rules and on my political affiliation. On the issue of what was discussed, an honorable member will remember that in the picture I pointed to the secretary to acting secretary to parliament and acting deputy secretary to parliament, and there were other members. There was also the speaker and there were presiding officers, and not too far from where we were there was also the honorable Mulder in the vicinity. And my recollection, Mr. Chair, is that it was a point where feedback was coming through on the consultations that were happening among parties, and I think Minister of State Security would have been part of that group, and earlier on Minister of State Security and Minister Gwele would have been in a conversation with Honorable Malema and Honorable Shivambu. And so my recollection is that it was a point where feedback was being received on consultations that were undertaken. And and of course, Secretary to Parliament is my boss. Acting Secretary to Parliament is my boss. Acting Deputy Secretary to Parliament is also my boss. So I was also in part listening to my bosses in terms of the consultations that were happening. And as Secretary to the House, I needed to know the next step that will be followed so that I can give the directive for the ringing of the bells to ensure that the House is able to reconvene. So that would be my response there. The Chair has pronounced on the issue of the charges that I'm a witness here. And the Chair would respond to the matter of the charges. I've dealt with the issue of political affiliation and invited the member to conduct a search if he is interested to establish my political inclinations. And I wish the member success.
Order, honourable members, on the floor is Mr. Klaas.
And then members of the EFF, I think I responded to the question earlier on when it was asked by Honourable Lotrit. The Speaker referred the matter to the committee, and the Speaker referred 20 names to the committee. And of course there were 20 I think about 24 or 25 names. And when I was responding to Honorable Lord Reid, is that I identified the 20 names with a great deal of difficulty as well. But I had to ensure when I was identifying them here that the correct names were identified. But the Speaker referred to 20 names. And I'll share again, as you said correctly earlier, I'm here as a witness.
Thank you very much. After defending Honorable Esso, now is an opportunity for him to feel part of this hearing and pose the question.
Honorable Chair, I will hold on to my questions. I'll leave with things tomorrow, Chair.
Thank you very much, and get ready for the deliberations. Can we then ask Honorable Filtane?
Oh, thanks, Chair.
First is a follow-up question, still around the equipment. You said that the list gets deleted, something to that effect. Maybe technically inaccurate here. Does it get totally obliterated, and or does it get saved somewhere? If it gets totally obliterated and it's not saved, we run a huge risk here. The main question is, when the Speaker has to use her discretion, but the example you gave, let's say there's about 3-4 members of the same party who are vying for an opportunity to speak, whether it's a follow-up question or whatever. Let's talk in the context of a follow-up question this time around. Does she consider just numbers as in saying there are so many from this party and then decide on the basis of trying to spread the opportunity to speak? Or does she consider in context as to say the main question actually comes from party A, and therefore I have got a moral obligation to prioritize members of party A? I hope you understand me. Does she just say there are so many people who are vying for an opportunity for supplementary question? Or does she say this question actually is owned by a certain party? What consideration does she factor into her thought processes? Second question, and the last one. No, those are the two, sorry. Just that I started with the last one. Thank you.
Can we get Mr. Castle then to deal with that question?
Mr. Chairman, with regard to speakers' lists, I'll come to the specific question. Speakers' lists, because it's a more structured process where names are received and compiled, and then they're loaded onto the system. And the system saves it. I'm talking about debates. But when it gets to request to speak process, one would need to establish, my understanding is that the system doesn't save it, because it has not been necessary before to go back to those names. But I will check with our IT department whether it hides, the information gets stored somewhere within the system or not. I will check that. So I don't have the information now. And of course, the matter of discretion, I was just checking the meaning of discretion, the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. And it gives synonyms as option, judgment, and others. I can't really say what is considered, except my experience has been that where it,
For instance, the party that would have asked the main question would get the first opportunity for a supplementary question. That's what happens. But I have seen in other instances where the party would get the opportunity and a member of the same party would still be up on the list asking a supplementary question. Sometimes there are a lot of demand. There's a huge demand for supplementary questions. And others, there's less demand for supplementary questions. So there has been instances, for instance, where the same member would ask, would get an opportunity more than once to ask a supplementary question because there's not a lot of demand for opportunities. So that has happened. And sometimes you get up to 3 supplementary questions and there's no other member who wishes to ask a supplementary question. But generally, ordinarily, because this is a multi-party forum, the presiding officer would seek to ensure some form of spread of parties where there is reason to believe that the names that are number 1 to 4 do not serve that purpose. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. And then we have got Honorable Killian on the line.
Chairperson, can I perhaps ask Mr. Klassen? He has referred to the number of members in the EFF who have been charged, and I just want further clarity if my understanding is correct. In terms of the rules, it's part 7,000 Privileges Committee. It speaks in 194 of the Speaker referring a matter. Now, the functions are listed in 194, and there's a broad mandate that emanates from the 1,000 Privileges Act, as I understand it. Will Mr. Castle say that the letter of referral dated 26 August 2014, in which the 20 names were mentioned, would he describe that as the specific mandate by the Speaker for this particular exercise for the disturbance that occurred on the 21st of August? Thank you, Chair.
I hope you have accessed that specific reference, Mr. Kass.
Honorable Chair, the reference, as I understand the member to be referring to, the committee must consider any matter referred to it by the Speaker relating to issue of conduct. That's my understanding. The Speaker has referred the matter to this committee, and the committee is busy considering that matter, the contents of the referral by the Honorable Speaker. I'm not sure if I'm answering the Honorable Member.
Can I just make a follow-up? Does he...
Just clarity, yeah.
On this one. Does he read anywhere in the rules or in the Act that this committee would have the prerogative to expand the specific referral to include more members? Or is it only the Speaker that can refer a matter upon which this committee should act?
Mr. Kass.
Chair, that would require a considered response from my side. I don't want to venture a response in that manner. I have to be careful in terms of, because I view this to be, in my space, I give advice. So I immediately, when a question like this arises, is advice, and before I give advice, I must check all the facts. And if the chair allows me, I am not in a position to respond to that. And perhaps maybe for this close of this committee, I may not even be qualified to do that. Maybe the officers assigned to the committee can advise on that matter, not myself.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. that the response has been clarified. And now on the list, I have Honorable Mdagane and also Honorable Mthabo. Can you take us, whoever is ready? Proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Through you, Chairperson, with Mr. Kazo's vast experience, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Vast experience, may he kindly unpack and elaborate on rules 49-72 in relation to incidents that took place in the chamber on the day in question, which is 21st August. Thank you.
Okay. So, Tolile Kaso.
Yes, Honorable Chair. Rule 49 says that whenever the presiding officer arises during a debate, any member then speaking or offering to speak shall resume his or her seat, and the presiding officer shall be heard without interruption. And I had explained earlier in terms of the guided procedure that when the presiding officer addresses the House, this rule is applicable. And then Rule 72 says a member may speak when called upon to do so by the presiding officer or to a point of order. Just a point of clarity on my side. Is it a question of the honorable member that I must explain these rules?
Honorable members, I think that's... Yes, and honorable member, can you just simply clarify that?
Thank you, honorable chairperson. I referred to these rules because now and then Mr. Kazu referred to them in relation to the incident which took place on the 21st. Yes. So I wanted him to elaborate on that vis-a-vis that incident of the 21st. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sure it is understood.
Honorable Chair, without going back to maybe everything that I said before, Rule 49 is basically about when the speaker addresses the House, that members then speaking or offering to speak should resume their places, and the speaker shall be heard without interruption. So in a sitting of the House, that's how it would be applicable. And then when the speaker arises to address the House, and then members must assume their places. And that would have been the case even on the 21st of August. And then also that members who are offering to speak should be recognized, may speak when called upon to do so by the presiding officer or to a point of order. And Honorable Lord Reed had raised the issue around the point of order, and I explained my understanding about how that matter applies and may have been applied on the day, on the 21st.
Okay. And I hope that Honorable Mdagane is not going to say he's covered.
In fact, I'm so tempted to say that I'm covered by the point that I wanted just to raise, though it's a small point. Some of the points really, they've been covered by my colleagues when they were raising the issues. Well, one issue that I wanted just to raise through Mr. Kaso, just his understanding
discharge their responsibilities. I think it's important for us to for what is his understanding of that, because then we can then discuss, I guess, in our retreat as a panel, after we have done some of those issues. But I wanted General Chair also to submit that I really think that we have by and large exhausted the questions. And then accept that what is left really is a discussion of the panel to try to persuade each other on some of the issues that we have raised. And even Honorable Mahlubu is almost agreeing now, and for the first time that he's supporting the view that we have expressed. It makes me convinced that we have exhausted really the question that we directed to Mr. Tasso. And I really think, Chair, that if it's possible for us, maybe we should really agree that we have exhausted them. Otherwise, we may end up with questions that many of them have been answered for this evening. We may then be tempted to raise other questions, even some questions that are political in nature, that is very difficult for him. It's one of the reasons why he was raising the issue that he's advising the principals. That would be an issue that he cannot comment on, because he's advising the principal. But I was just raising the importance of conduct of members in the House for them to discharge their responsibilities as members of parliament. Because there's been always an issue about honorable members of parliament. I thought that honorable members of parliament was meant for really certain conduct of people when they're in their house, in order for them to do their work that they're expected to do as members of parliament. And if you want to comment, you can comment. If you wouldn't, I would accept it and propose that you move.
Okay, Mr. Tasso, a very soft question.
Chair, with your permission, I mean, really, all I can do is read from page 152 of the Guide to Procedure instead of entering my own opinions, where it says the underlying principle is that of showing respect to the House and to other members. Conduct should not cause a disruption to proceedings. If the Chair allows me, I think that is really what my response would be.
Okay, honorable members, I think honorable Mahlubu wanted to break ranks with honorable Ndagan. You still maintain?
No, I just wanted to maybe to be given a chance maybe to ask my last question for the day. For the day. On page 28 of the Hazard. Bundle A, page 28. On that follow-up question raised by Honorable Malema. Why was the Speaker asking the President to answer the question? And that question. It seems to me, at her own admission, the President did not adequately answer the question. Then the President down there said, answered. Page 28. So I'm asking it to maybe say why the speaker called the presiding officer, the president, honorable president, please answer the question. Then on her own admission, the president did not adequately answer
the question posed.
Honourable Member, Honourable Secretary, the Honourable Members would note that after the President's response to the supplementary question by the Honourable Malema, then the Speaker says the Honourable Wolomisa. And then there are interventions in between, which include Honorable Dlamini Dubazana, Honorable Josie, and the Honorable Shivamu. Speaker, the President has already answered. The only thing I can read here is that the interventions that happened were such that Speaker could not recall immediately that there was a response. There had been a response. That's why the President is saying, "I've answered." Because in terms of processing and procedures for questions, you take supplementary, take a response, take the next supplementary. Yeah. So that's my explanation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. And it looked like Honourable Ngwango wanted to follow.
Taking my paper because I won't bother you. My last one, Mr. Klaso, I don't think it is going to be a question. I'm just, we may make a response if you like. It also on page 29, the very last page, 29 of bundle A. That's your handbook, which says, and the Speaker says, Honorable Shivambu, that is very early in the process, very early. And she says, I will throw you out of the house. I will throw you out of the house if you don't listen. Probably it's an unfair question to be asked. Asked to you because you didn't actually say these things. But it would appear that already there was a fair amount of agitation here. On the part of the presiding officer against certain members or this particular member. Anyone who reads this could easily construe it as a threat. Is there anything that you can say? What would be your... You are free not to say anything. What would you say to that?
Okay. Mr. Klaas, I think you have been given two options by the person that asked the question. You are at liberty to choose one.
Let me choose the latter.
The latter. Okay. You have chosen not to comment on that. Honorable members, it looks like we have exhausted all the questions that you wanted to pose to the witness that we have in front of us. And we really should thank the availability of the witness and then to be part of this hearing. I now want to recognize Mr. Van Fuore, whether he has got any comment that he needs to make. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no questions arising out of the supplementary questions and the debate that Mr. Klaso has been engaged in, except also to add my thanks to Mr. Klaso. for assisting these proceedings in coming to give evidence here.
Thank you very much, and I hope that also our witness may be having a comment or anything to say to this committee for having requested him and complied, and also we having dealt with him in a humane manner, and surely maybe having a comment. That's the case.
Honourable Chair, I just wanted to really thank you and the committee. I trust that my inputs, the committee will find that they would have been useful in terms of clarifying some procedures and the rules. But lastly, Chair, I take it that I will not be required tomorrow because I was due to travel. So I just wanted to make sure that I don't need to be here tomorrow, that I'll finish the part that you required of me in these proceedings.
Okay, I think that we should again still thank the witness for having performed the duties that we requested him to do. And as he has indicated, we also, on behalf of the committee, feel that the contributions we have made as a witness will add value to our discussions for us to be able to reach meaningful conclusions on this particular matter that relates to the functioning of Parliament. And honourable members, yes, and I've just been reminded that to say that you are now released, you may leave the hearing, and everything for the best from this moment onwards. Honourable members, you will be aware that this hearing has proceeded with its business in terms of item 8 of the schedule to the National Assembly rules. As such, none of the charged members are present to present evidence or to call any witness or to cross-question the witness that have been called by the initiator. We are still awaiting the letter of apology and a doctor's certificate from Honorable Munsam, as promised by Honorable J.S. Malema. I have requested Honorable Munsam to provide the committee with this information. I will therefore suggest that we suspend the proceedings until Wednesday next week, at 9 o'clock at the venue to be confirmed on Monday. 9 o'clock, yes. At the venue to be confirmed on Monday the 13th of October, to allow Honorable Munsam to provide us with that information, and also for the initiator to compose his address in terms of item 5 of the schedule to the rules of this house. On that score, honorable members, we have come to the end of these engagements today, or this hearing today, and then until next week on Wednesday. And this hearing is adjourned. Thank you very much.